Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and I have with me in the studio two wonderful panelists, Josh and Ellen. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Great to have you here today. Today we begin our science article. We are on page 30. So if you have your magazine in front of you, you can go ahead and open up your magazine there to page 30. And what is the title of our article, Josh?
It says, "Can you make yourself smarter?"
So it's a question. We're asking this question, can you make yourself smarter? Have you ever thought of that question, Josh?
I have a little bit lately. I think as I'm getting older, I'm concerned about maybe losing a bit of my memory and brain power. And so I've been just curious. Yeah, am I on the downside of the hill?
Or oh, no.
Can I keep it at its current level a little while longer?
Or maybe you can even get smarter.
I've never thought of that. I just thought, I don't want to get any dumber.
Well, you're already pretty smart, so.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Okay, Ellen, how about you? Have you ever thought of this question?
I have recently. I guess you can say I reached a quote-unquote milestone birthday this last year.
Ooh.
I thought, oh no, this is the beginning of the end, sort of.
Wow, you're making me feel weird.
I know, right?
That was a milestone to you.
Ellen is quite young, everyone. Don't let her fool you.
But no, I was talking with a friend just yesterday saying, oh, I feel like lately I've just started to forget a lot of things, or, you know, you're not as clear about certain things. And yeah, it's been on my mind lately, I guess you could say.
Yes. Well, I tend to forget things very easily, especially names. I'm terrible about remembering people's names. And so it would be helpful if I would use some technique, I guess, to try to remember people's names. How about you, panelists? Do you ever trouble maybe recalling names or remembering things? Do you ever use a certain technique in order to help you to remember something?
I did in college. I wasn't a great studier. I would procrastinate, meaning I put it off till the last minute. So yes, I would need to cram in a bunch of information in my brain in a short period. And oftentimes I would use mnemonics, where you kind of make a song or something using the first letter of each of the things you need to memorize and memorize it that way. But actually, I'm very good with names. I don't know why. My whole life, I couldn't tell you who was in my third grade class for some reason.
Wow. That's
pretty good.
Names stick.
Just
in
comes
my brain.
Natural to
yeah.
you.
Okay. Have you always struggled with that, Brandon?
As far back as I can remember.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Well, how about you, Ellen?
I think for me, you know, when I first start a job or first start, a new experience or like an internship, obviously you meet a lot of people at once. So my strategy has always kind of to walk around with a pad, notepad, and I'll make notations about certain people to help me remember, because I feel like it gets embarrassing if you've met them three or four times and you still don't know their name or who they are. Yeah.
And then it's too late. You're like, forget it. I'm not going to even ask their name anymore because it's too embarrassing.
Brandon would like it if we all wore name tags.
Yes. Yes. I think it helps if you associate something. For example, if you remember where they are from and then maybe, oh, this is Bob. He's from, I don't know, Japan, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can remember it that way. Whatever you can do to help yourself to remember. I remember when I was in college that it wasn't a professor, but it was actually just a campus. He was a pastor, actually, a campus pastor. But he would video everyone in the class because he had many people, and he would have them say their name and maybe something about them. And then I guess he would watch the video to remember. So he put the effort in to really remember the students' names. And so you can figure out what works for you. But we're not just talking about remembering people's names today. We're talking about really how to just improve your memory in general and even reverse mental aging. We're going to talk about all of that on today's program and actually over the course of the next 3 days. So this is an interesting article, and there are some practical parts to it as well. So we hope that you find it to be very interesting and helpful for your life. Well, open your magazines to page 30 if you haven't already, and we will have our first reading for today.
Can Can you make yourself smarter? Documentary seeks to prove that anyone, no matter their age, can improve their memory. Like an athlete preparing for a triathlon, Australian TV host Todd Sampson spent 3 months in intensive training mode for his latest assignment, improving his brain. The winner of the ACTA Award for Best TV Documentary in Australia and a TV hit around the globe, Hack My Brain explores the science of brain plasticity, which is the premise that anyone at any age can become smarter, can improve their memory, and can even reverse mental aging with proper training. Sampson, an adventurer and entrepreneur with degrees in biology, economics, and an MBA who has climbed Mount Everest, was eager to play guinea pig. The show follows Sampson as he travels the world, learning to improve his brain's attention, thinking speed, memory, creativity, and innovation. In the final hour, Sampson's body intelligence is assessed, and he learns to use biofeedback techniques to control his emotional and physical responses to complete a daunting final task, an underwater escape while shackled, chained, and blindfolded. He shared some of the highlights of his experience with Mother Nature Network.
All right, well, let's find out if we can actually make ourselves smarter by looking more into this article. We are starting there on page 30, and it says, like an athlete preparing for a triathlon. What is a triathlon, Josh?
Well, it's a race that involves three different elements. So you see the tri as the prefix of the word, and it involves swimming, running, and cycling.
Wow, that sounds intense. I just ran a marathon back in February of this year, and that was quite intense, so I assumed that this would be crazy to do. Have you ever done anything like this?
No, I'm not a good swimmer, so I think it'd be tough.
Yeah, how about you, Ellen?
I have not either, but I can imagine just how insane, I guess you could say.
Yes.
It is.
Well, we are talking about an Australian TV host, Todd Sampson. It says, like an athlete preparing for this. He's not preparing for a triathlon, but he is working on improving his memory and making himself smarter. Well, he spent 3 months doing what, Josh?
In intensive training, it says. And when something's intensive, it's at a high rate of effort. It was very serious training for his latest assignment. And so he's a host of a TV show, and his next challenge or assignment is improving his brain.
Okay, and the TV show is Hack My Brain. You can actually go onto YouTube, and I think they have at least the first episode on there you can watch. And they actually won an award. It says the winner of the AACTA Award for Best TV Documentary in Australia. So this is an Australian show, but it says it's also a hit around the globe. What does that mean, that it's a hit?
Well, when we say a show is a hit, it just means it's very popular. It is very well known to the audience.
Okay, and this show actually explores something. It explores the science of brain plasticity. And listeners, maybe you've never heard of that. Well, we get a clear explanation here, where they actually tell us the premise of the show.
That's right, that anyone at any age can make yourself smarter. That your brain, not that it's made of plastic, you see the word plastic in there, it's kind of funny. It's not, you can imagine stretching your brain perhaps, but it's this idea of that it doesn't atrophy over time, or at least it doesn't have to, you know, get worse, that you can literally change its function for the better.
That's right, or you can think of it being remodeled, right, mm-hmm. or having that change. And so we see the word that brain plasticity, the idea behind it is that anyone can become smarter at any age, you can improve your memory, and you can even reverse mental aging. So it's talking about three different things here. And listeners, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I really start to pay attention because I'm getting older. Everyone's getting older, right? And you think, wow, I can improve my memory. So I actually went onto a website called brainhq.com, and they have memory games, and they have some for free. And it was kind of fun. I wasn't crazy about my results. I felt like I was, oh, I'm doing well. But toward the end, I was like, oh, getting the wrong answers or whatever. And the one I did, you just watch numbers and circles moving around, and then you have to remember where those numbers popped up. So that's kind of fun. You can check that out at brainhq.com.
There's another one. There's a mobile app that was Apple's App of the Year in 2014. I just discovered it when that award was announced a week ago, and I've been playing it every day. It's called Elevate, and it's a brain training app.
A friend just told me about it maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and so I've been trying that out. So, yeah,
okay,
it's a very good app.
Josh, how long have you been playing that?
5 days now.
Okay, so now you are smarter now than you were 5 days ago.
Good to hear. Yes.
And Ellen as well. She's been playing it.
It's not just memory, right? It improves cognition and math and syntax and recognizing grammatical mistakes.
Right.
And
speed reading, and it helps you improve that. Yeah.
It is expensive if you want to unlock the premium features.
Mm.
It's like 150 NT a month.
Wow.
Wow.
Which is kind of a lot.
But I mean, I think so far the features that they have for free are actually quite extensive already, so I'm not sure that it's necessary to do that. Not that I'm advertising that you should pay for it, but...
But I also like the title of his show. Sorry, Ellen. Mm-hmm. I like that idea of hack, which was in the news a lot last year.
Yeah.
I remember when Sony Studios was hacked. Usually it's negative.
That's right.
But this is this positive idea of, hey, can you break into my brain and help me improve it?
That's right. That's a good point, Josh, that we usually think of hackers. They go into computers and do bad things. Maybe they steal something and so forth. And that's, of course, a very bad thing. But here they're using it in a positive sense because they're helping people to improve their memory and improving their brains, as we mentioned there in the first paragraph. Well, actually, you know, we talked about these games that we can do online, but this man here, Todd, he did a very intense training, as we will talk about more later, but we see in the next paragraph, Samson is an adventurer and an entrepreneur. And tell us a little bit more about him there, Ellen.
Sure. He has a degree in biology, economics, and an MBA. MBA just being a master's of business administration. So he understands a lot about business and finance. And he has even, you know, a very interesting, achievement, which is that he's climbed Mount Everest as well.
Yeah, so we see there where that adventure comes in, that he climbed Mount Everest, and he's a smart guy, he has an MBA, and we see the word entrepreneur, that means he's a self-starter, he likes to start his own businesses and so forth, and so he has a lot of experience, and so because of all of this, he was eager to play guinea pig, Josh.
Yes, when you're a guinea pig, you're willing to be tested. Doesn't have to be in a lab, but I think that's where the phrase came from. But now we just use it outside of science to say that you're willing to be the first to try something.
Okay, and so he was willing to do this, and because he likes adventures. Well, what does the show actually follow?
The show follows Samson as he travels the world, learning to improve his brain's attention, thinking speed, memory, creativity, and even innovation.
I guess I should say, who do they follow? Because they're following him around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's traveling all around the world, and he's able to improve all these areas of his brain. And here we get more of the details. Maybe you're not a very creative person. You think, oh, I want to be more creative. Well, maybe there are ways that can help you to be more creative. I think the key is to take time out to do these things. We get stuck in ruts a lot of times with our work and so forth and busy with family, right? That we don't take the time to play these memory games or increase our brain power, right?
That's right. You might not even have thought about, you know, how are you functioning, both physically and mentally? And that goes into our next sentence, this idea of body intelligence and biofeedback are just these notions of being self-aware.
That's right.
And there's devices that'll do this, right? We've talked in this class before about the wearables, like Nike Plus and Fitbit, and they'll monitor your heart rates and brain output and how many calories you burn a day. So there's lots of, it is kind of a trend, right, of this idea of this is the body I'm stuck with. You know, I can get surgery or something, but this is pretty much what I've got to work with. How can I gauge its effectiveness?
That's right. How can you learn how your body works? This idea of biofeedback, it's a method in which a person learns to control their heart rate or other physical or mental processes. So you can actually control these things. You have to learn how it works, though. And we see here in the final hour, Samson's body intelligence is assessed. And so he learns how to use biofeedback, and he learns how to use it in order to control his emotional and physical responses. I think a lot of times, you know, if you're in a tense situation, you don't know how to control those emotions and so forth, right?
Right, exactly. You know, we often think of when you're in scary situations, we often say your adrenaline just spikes up. You know, you have this sudden ability to, you know, even, you know, I've heard stories of superhuman strength or superhuman, you know, type of situations where, you know, if somebody's stuck under a car, people have the adrenaline to even lift up a car, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we are in situations that where we are stressed, whether it's because of, you know, these circumstances, we often can't control those responses. You know, our body naturally will respond with these extra hormones or extra chemicals that help us to face that.
Okay. Well, Josh, why does Todd want to actually control his emotional and physical responses?
Well, it says at the show he's asked to complete a daunting final task. When something is daunting, it's overwhelming, maybe a little scary, and it is an underwater escape while shackled, chained, and blindfolded.
That's crazy.
Yes. Well, we're going to find out also he's not a swimmer either.
Oh, my.
It's really crazy.
He did this voluntarily?
Yeah. Yes, I know.
For entertainment, Ellen.
Well, he is making a show.
Right.
So he's getting paid for it, you know, but it is interesting to watch and to see someone go through this. Well, he's shackled, meaning he has, like, these, you know, chains on him, and he's tied up and all of that. And he can't even see what's going on. I'm not sure I would want to see what's going on with all of that.
No.
Well, he also shared some of the highlights of his experience, of course, with Mother Nature Network. And we see there at the top, right in the middle of the title, actually, that this article comes from the Mother Nature Network. And so the next part of our article, we will actually have an interview with Todd Sampson. It'll be more of a question and answer format. Let's go ahead and begin that with our next reading for today.
What was it like to participate in this brain makeover? I studied the brain at university, but there is a big difference between theory and practice. For this series, I was the host and lab rat, and basically handed my brain over to the best scientists in the world. Pre-training, I spent nearly 7 hours in an fMRI and MEG machine establishing my baseline scores. I then had to redo all these tests nearly 3 months later. The post-training scores stunned me. I nearly doubled my thinking speed and dramatically improved my memory. I even competed in the World Memory Championships in London. I memorized a deck of 52 cards in under 10 minutes and could recall them forward and 2 hours later the entire deck backwards. Prior to training, I couldn't even memorize 6 cards.
Okay, so now we begin the interview portion of our article, and the Mother Nature Network asks the question, what was it like to participate in this brain makeover? And what do you think of when you think of the word makeover, Ellen?
Well, for, I guess, girls, we often think of just changing our appearance completely in some way. But here, since it's brain makeover, I'm thinking that it's more just a complete change in his brain thought process.
Yeah, when we think of the word makeover, we think of a big change. Mm-hmm. We can have a house makeover, or we think of ourselves, you know, we have a makeover. There's a big change in our appearance and so forth. Well, here we're talking about making big changes with the brain, with our brains. And then we now look at Todd Sampson's answer. And what does he say he did when he was in university?
Well, it says he studied the brain. And we talk about the brain. You almost think it's a proper noun, but it's just the idea of it's an important organ in our body, and it's certainly something that a lot of universities and scientists are spending time thinking about. How do we expand our brain power? How do we heal brain injuries? But there's a big difference, he says, between when just studying about something, the word theory there, and then actual practice.
And that's so true. I like that statement, because a lot of times when we're in school, we're learning about theories, but we don't always put that into practice. And so he's just saying, well, there's a big difference. And now he's actually putting this stuff into practice. What we see for this series, he was the host and lab rat. We learned earlier about guinea pig, but what does he mean by lab rat?
Lab rat, again, is this idea that you are the one being experimented on. Oftentimes you'll hear when we do scientific experiments that they first tested on mice or rats because, you know, supposedly, I don't know if this is true, but supposedly their biological makeup is very similar or close enough to the human body that maybe their reactions can help us understand, you know, okay, human reactions.
All right, so he is the lab rat, and he says, I basically just handed my brain over to the best scientists in the world. I guess that's a good thing. I'm not sure sometimes. It sounds kind of scary, doesn't it?
I wouldn't take him literally there, right? We should be clear. He didn't have surgery.
Yes.
These were all just exercises and techniques that he learned to improve his brain power.
That's right. So it says here, pre-training, I spent nearly 7 hours in an fMRI. And then it also talks about an MEG. And so an fMRI, we've heard of MRI, but fMRI is a functional magnetic resonance imaging, and it's a technique that measures the blood flow in the brain, and it provides information on brain activity. And then the MEG is a record of the magnetic field of the brain. So he had all these tests on his brain, and what did it do?
It helped to establish a baseline score. So this is oftentimes when people are about to go into training or about to start something. They will kind of take a test first to see where they are now, and that is their baseline score to kind of compare once they finish this experiment or
right.
this experience.
I think the key word there is compare. They have something mm-hmm. to compare. You know, when he gets smarter, they can compare it to what he was like before. That's how they know he was actually getting smarter, right?
Sure. Maybe you want to lose weight. So you take your, get on a scale first and set your baseline weight and then see what you weigh in a few months or weeks.
Okay, very good. Well, he says he then had to redo all these tests nearly 3 months later. And so he's going through lots and lots of tests. And then the post-training scores stunned him. If something stuns you, what does that exactly mean?
So, stunned just meaning in this case that it surprised him. He okay. wasn't expecting it at all.
Why was he stunned, Josh?
Well, he improved his brain power. It says he nearly doubled his thinking speed. And that's interesting. I wonder how you gauge thinking speed. I mean, the blood flow was interesting, and the MEG you said talked about magnetic imaging. But yeah, double your thinking speed sounds great.
It does. Sounds like you could be much more efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, and then it also says that it dramatically improved his memory, which, wow, that sounds great as well. You won't forget where your keys are, where your glasses are, and
no,
so forth.
Or someone's name.
Yeah, sometimes your glasses are on your head, and you can't find them, and they're just right there on your head. So this will help you with those sorts of things. Well, he even competed in the World Memory Championships in London, and I looked at their website. They have several different categories, and it's over 3 days that they have this competition, and there's 10 different disciplines or categories, and the competitors, they will just demonstrate their ability to memorize numbers or words or dates and so forth. And I think, Josh, you actually went and looked at what he was doing here. He was memorizing a deck of 52 cards, right?
Right. They're playing cards. So numbers and, you know, the kings and jacks and queens and all the suits. And he learned a technique. So before he went to the championships, he met with a guy who taught him this technique to create word pictures in your mind to help remember things.
Mm.
And so he would take the eight of diamonds and turn it into a word picture with the E in eight and the D in diamonds. So it becomes, you know, a friend of his named Eric at the drugstore. And so he would then put those pictures in order in his mind.
Okay.
So that he remembered the first card he memorized was Eric at the drugstore, eight of diamonds.
Okay.
And he did this for all 52 cards.
Wow.
And then so he looks through the cards, you get 10 minutes to memorize the deck, and then he could do it, like it says here, forwards and backwards.
Wow. Backwards.
That's pretty crazy. Amazing. That's
that is intense, right? So he memorized a deck of 52 cards in under 10 minutes. And then, as Josh just said, he could recall them forward and even backwards. Well, it says prior to training, he couldn't even memorize six cards. I can relate to that, Ellen.
Yes, me too.
And so, you know, he's saying here that this really works. This is a clear example that because of the training that he went through, it actually helped him to improve his memory. And so that's just the first question. So we have many more questions. The Mother Nature Network is going to ask him several more questions. We have two more days to discuss, can you make yourself smarter? So we hope you will join us again tomorrow. And we thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.